I'll confess this to you. I woke up this morning and Pastor Romy looked at me and she said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Nothing. Nothing's the matter," but you know, your other half usually tends to see it when you're struggling at a moment in your life. But I want to talk about when I was a kid growing up and we would go on vacations. We'd had three very memorable trips that I remember. The first one was to Washington, D.C. I was in, I think it was the third grade. The second trip was to New York City when I was in the fifth grade. And I believe it was in sixth grade when we went to San Francisco. In all three of those instances, I was a southern boy. I grew up in Myrtle Beach. The tallest building I ever saw was seven stories at that point. So we go to Washington, D.C., and we go all the way up to the top of the Washington Monument and look out, and all you can see are these huge, prominent buildings, the Lincoln Memorial, which we went to, in front of the White House, which we went to, the Capitol Building, which we went to, and then when we saw the Jefferson Memorial, we just saw it, and didn't know that. But all these impressive buildings that we saw, then in New York City, I remember we were here for Easter week. We went to worship at St. Patrick's Cathedral. How many of y'all have ever been to Easter at St. Patrick's? That is quite an impressive service if you've never been. And then, of course, we did all the landmarks. We went to the top of the Empire State Building. We went down to the Battery. We did the Statue of Liberty. We climbed up to the pedestal. We were supposed to go to the restaurant that was on top of the, I think it was the North Tower of the Trade Center. But a month before, of course, the bomb had gone off in the parking garage, and it had been closed. So I never got to go up there in that beautiful building. Then there was San Francisco. Man, that's quite an impressive bridge. Have y'all ever seen it before? We were able to go down underneath it there where the old fort was underneath the bottom of the bridge on the south side, and just looking at that. That was something else. And then that big pyramid-looking building in downtown San Francisco. And we stayed in the Palace Hotel. Whew. It was brass and marble, not much else. And I remember eating in the restaurant there just about nightly, and the food was immaculate. But being a kid, what did I eat? Close. Grilled cheese. I ordered off menu, because that's how I roll. But we went to Grace Cathedral there in San Francisco, an Episcopal church. And I remember just these buildings. They were beautiful to walk into and to see them full and to see them so light. It was something else. And here comes Jesus into the temple area. Jesus walks in. How is he greeted? His ministry had already begun. He had already turned water into wine. He had already called the disciples. John the Baptist had been out preaching in the wilderness and baptizing in the water, professing that one is going to come that is greater than I. I baptize with water, but he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So here's Jesus in the temple. He walks in, and is he recognized? The Messiah recognized as he walked in the door. No, instead, what Jesus saw was something that had become culturally accepted, the exchanging of money and the purchasing of the sacrificial animals there in the temple. But you know, after all, it was more logical to purchase your animal for sacrifice there at the temple than to bring it with you if you were traveling in from a village several days away from Jerusalem, doesn't it? After all, you're supposed to offer an animal that is blemish-free. Can you imagine journeying for days, trying to watch after your dove so nothing gets it, or your goat, or your cow? And here is Jesus, seeing this, and recognizing that there's a little bit of an injustice going on here. The people who live out in the villages, the poor people, they come in, it's more of a financial burden for them to travel. And Jesus recognizes this. And that's when we get the whole cleansing of the temple. Jesus took enough time to make a whip.
You tell me that's not premeditated.
But in doing so, Jesus has their attention now. In 46 years it was that they have been building this huge, glorious building, the center of their faith. The very presence of God existed in that temple. This was not just the cultural home of Judaism, it was their spiritual home as well. And Jesus grabbed their attention. 46 years, tear it down, and now raise it up in 3 days. He must be crazy. This guy in this little backwater village coming in here saying crazy things like this. Where's Nancy Sutherland when you need her? Gotta get the crazy out of here.
And then he has their attention.
3 days, I'll raise it up. And there they all were in the very presence of God, speaking to them, speaking to every single person there. And did they recognize it at that point? No. We read the scriptures, we practice our faith. And here we are, gathered here this morning.
And this is the part, y'all don't get to see me do this very often. You know I'm attached to that pulpit. It's like my security blanket, my seal, my love, whatever y'all call it. But this morning, we just sang God of grace, God of glory.
Last few weeks, I had trouble.
Haven't y'all? If it hasn't been difficult to see, well, I've seen it. Y'all know we're going to host the March for Our Lives here in a couple weeks. Overwhelmingly, people have been very positive and open and receiving about it because they recognize the need for change, but man, there have been some nasty comments and some nasty people.
Y'all who have the presence of God with us, Jesus has walked this walk.
Jesus tore down the temple,
that bodily temple, and it has been raised up. It has been raised up. Jesus has instructed us in the way of life. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the powerful, they're going to inherit the earth, does he? Blessed are the rich, because God loves them more than you. Jesus came to the lowly, to the lost, and to the least of all. And here we are today, telling our kids, shh, it's all right. Y'all just go back to school.
One day you'll be able to vote, and then maybe you can make a difference.
I remember that's what happened in Columbine when I was here.
We were told, shh, it's okay. Just go back to class. It won't happen again.
Too many people are trying to silence
the voices of those who have the most powerful testimony to give to us.
It's time for us to rise up and to be the presence of God in the community for everyone who needs to see.
No.
Now's not the time for us to be quiet as Christians.
Now's not the time for us to be quiet as people of faith.
The very presence of God
incarnate there in Jesus Christ
stood in the middle of the temple and wasn't recognized. So if we go out into the streets of Port Washington, are we going to be recognized as the very presence of God to all of those? One more little story. Pastor Roman can't take me anywhere. She always gets on my page. She needs to start dressing up more. But I love my
comfy clothes. I especially love that
Gamecock sweatshirt that y'all see me wearing so much. And boy, has it got some attention the last 2 weeks, haven't it? I have sparked up some very interesting conversations with folks ranging from the post office, which I seldom go to the post office. Do you realize how negative of a place that is? But before we walk out of there, Romy, how were the people? They were joyful. They were talking to complete strangers in line instead of just looking at the floor, waiting for the teller to go to mass. Yesterday, at the Little Mermaid, Romy can't take me anywhere. She went to take the girls out during the intermission, and I stayed in our seats to be sure we had seats when we came back. Little Mermaid, fantastic production by the school. That's on par with many college-level things that I've seen. All of a sudden, I start sparking up a conversation. Guess what kind of sweatshirt I'm wearing? Oh, did you go there? Yeah. One of my friends went there when we were kids. I went to Emory. Okay, guess where they go to worship? Community synagogue right down the road.
And lo and behold, they say, oh, we're going to introduce you to somebody who's sitting right behind you. Guess who it was? It was the cantor from Community Synagogue. Just a small world, and we started talking, and it's just amazing to see the energy that can happen when we put forth effort to talk to one another.
Both the synagogue and the church, we have to stand for something, because if we don't stand for something, we won't stand for nothing at all. And then our silence is going to go down as complacency in history. I don't want that to happen to you.
Those who remember that the God of graces has brought us here and we've gathered to give thanks to the glory of God and God's presence among us, I invite you now to turn to the Sacrament of Holy Communion, page 17, where we'll begin with the great thanksgiving. May the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a right, a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you formed us in your image. You breathed into each of us the very breath of life. Yet when we turned away and our love failed, yours remained steadfast. For you delivered us from captivity. You made covenant to be our sovereign God. You spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and with all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.